You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Yes, good evening, greetings, and welcome to Journeys with JP as my little headphone radio transmitter falls off the desk onto the mess below. Greetings, we are in the middle of a Perseid shower. I just left dead air on the station that I'm broadcasting on a few minutes ago because I was outside with my son watching the shooting stars go whee! Well, actually going wait, whee! It's not very dense, I have to say. You know, you have to be quite patient with this whole thing. You can't just go out and see a shooting star. You have to wait a few minutes. There are some good spectacular ones. We did see one that had a tail that took a while to... That was quite nice. And I saw a fireball, which is just... It just appears to be an explosion in the sky. No tail or anything, just... So that was quite exciting. We're looking at them in the northeastern sky here from our position, but we also saw some that were south of us. That's because we're up in the northeast. So you know they're kind of coming in from above where we are. So that's really quite fun. I'm very sorry to the rest of you who are. It's rather cloudy down in Glasgow where Gary is, and he's having. So my commiserations, mate. I have a guest. I have a wonderful guest. He's a really dear man, and we all love him. All he does is swear at us. Bless his heart. William Stillings, how are you, mate?
Best possible intro I think I could ever hope for. JP, you're... absolutely awesome. And I'm sorry it's raining Morris Minors and Minis down there in Glasgow. Is it raining there, or it's just cloud cover?
Just cloudy, I think. I'll check out. But, yeah, it's rather cloudy. And it's been cloudy here for the last few days. So this is the first little patch of sky we've seen. And, yeah. You know, we were out there, and see the Pleiades. And, you know, we've got quite a nice... Yeah. Nice when it's clear, but there's some low cloud there.
Yeah. As far as meteors, you're not going to see anything that looks like a spectacular crashing fireball like Barry Satoru's second political run.
Boom! <Ba-boom. laughs> Meteoric rise to fame. Not.
No. I do a radio show now. Have you heard it?
What, Barry Satoru?
No, my radio show. I've been doing a blog talk thing, you know, the downgraded version for us regular folks.
For people who have it free, and yeah. You get half an hour.
Yes,
and I have indeed.
Yes. Oh, good, yeah.
I just caught the tail end of it last night.
Did you at least laugh once?
I did. It was chaos. It was absolutely chaos. And I thought, that's Will's show.
Yeah. There's no format. It's whoever's talking. There's no order.
No rules.
It took a very sudden rise. I made a little promotional advertisement for it. And I just recently got in the... what paper is that called? I just got in a Australian paper that's also a U.S. one, and I if I can go retarded quietly on my own for just a second, I can actually pull up this information. I'm not saying like retarded like what the Mormons in Utah have to put up with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm just talking about I just thought I'd get a little plug the
Mormons,
in there.
I tell you, the Mormons aren't just in Utah. They're everywhere.
No? They're everywhere. sinkhole in Florida.
Florida, in Disneyland, yeah. Collapsing from underneath. Yeah. And it's really close to a lake. I'd be nervous myself. That lake might just empty. And who knows what's at the bottom.
I converted the doom and gloom of morbid doom predictions that are very akin to Ed Dames, a renowned remote viewer, pegged it at on the 11th that things were going to start happening. But I beat the mark by 6 minutes. It was almost 3 o'clock in Florida, but technically it was 11:54 in California. You see how desperate we are.
That is shaving it. That's really shaving the statistics very, very neatly. All right.
So, that's a desperation.
Yeah, that's sad. But anyway, the prophet is never recognized. Okay, so he was 6 minutes out. Never recognized in his own country.
I write it in some French ancient language mix, but I did make it to a magazine. I made it to New Dawn magazine, which is an Australian magazine, I believe.
All right.
Alien invasion and the Independence Day myth, UFO encounters and the hidden war. And I am in an article, I'm actually in three of the articles. I take up over 8 pages. Of the whole 75-page special edition. And I'm in Wonder Island, Portal to Another Planet. And I'm also mentioned again in ET Contact, Hyperdimensional, and Does the U.S. Military Have Bases on Mars? And I'm also in the in the same magazine under the other title. We have a lot of fire trucks going by.
And it's probably because everything's just fallen into the sea.
Oh, they're having best words, so maybe. And I'm under the Project Human Extinction article too. I guess they felt necessary. Thank you, guys.
It sounds like you're a lore or something.
Yeah. Alfred Lamont Weber actually wrote the article for Hyperdimensional War and Secret Military Base on Mars. And a Robert Stanley, also in his section of the magazine, wrote me in Wonder Island, Portal to Another Planet.
Ah, now that's very interesting. Robert Stanley officially retired on Ever Beyond.
Wow.
There was all this weird stuff happening was it last year or the year before? It's all a bit of a blur.
He caused a little bit of controversy upset, didn't he?
Yeah.
I knew that was going to be a little painful to say that name.
Yeah.
But I wasn't quite sure if I had to polish that turd or not.
No, it's all right because, it didn't hurt me. I wasn't hurt by it at all. It's just I like to observe these things and what's going on, not be part of very much the interpersonal politics, and I like to be everybody's friend because you're either friends or strangers.
Yeah. I think the article's really conducive, so I'm going to bow out of the discussion of Mr. Stanley.
Okay.
I believe he wrote a very good article.
So you're in lots of, you're coming on in lots of magazines. People are recognizing you. So, very soon, this will be a rare occurrence when you'll sort of condescend to just come to my little living room here and
Oh, I will always be in your living room, and for $37 to my PayPal, all those magazine writers and interviews, I'll actually do clothes if they, you know, if they consider a PayPal video thing.
Anatomically, but anatomically correct, but politically
that's opinionated. a lot of people would say a lot of different things. I wouldn't exactly get the positive side of it. Can I plug a director that's making his way to the scene?
Oh yeah.
Well, there is a new director in town. Several, in fact. One not so new, but there is a person named Graham Nicholson, who is his newest movie coming out is called Chipped, and you know I'm sure you've covered the chemtrails and the monitoring and all that, and there are some funny one-liners that make Clockwork Orange look a little outdated.
Ooh,
I mean, yeah, we could. There are some pretty funny one-liners. I actually can't say it on this show.
FCC rules. I understand. Yes.
Yes. You are so glad I love you. Abiding by FCC regulation, which I value. FCC. I mean, they have done a lot and also got bought out the last 5 years to do such good things. But FCC has been really a good thing in my life for the last 30-plus years.
Do you do radio, shortwave radio and things like that?
Oh, I grew up in ham radio. My call sign is K6JAB, just a boy.
JAB, just a boy. Excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
K6JAB, so...
KA6. I got that license in 78, 79, right when I was going to Mars.
All right. hey, can you get radio signals from Mars?
You can actually,
what sort of frequency band would you be using?
Well, if you're using a flash gun, you'd be propagating a gravity wave and just, accelerating it and just picking it up. But, I mean, you would do the same thing that you would do here. You would actually have quite a bit less ability in some bandwidths or some bands, and you would have excellent things on some others. I mean, you would probably the 11 year sunspot, you'd probably Mars isn't a functioning motor generator, so it would actually probably utilize the sunspots actually a little better, and probably on 40 meters. Megahertz. 3 meters. 400 megahertz. It's been too long, dude. I'm telling you, it's been too long.
Divided by 30 million. You know, oh, Jesus, no. Is it 30 million? 30 billion? I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, when you teleport to Mars, when you're on Mars, most of the time you're disconnected from the consciousness of Earth. There are times when Mars and Earth are less than one astronomical unit, and the consciousness of Earth is, you know, or the heightened happy level is increased on Mars. And I guess for some, you know, maybe a mindful head noise, but nonetheless, there's a difference. I mean, there's a very large spiritual development and understanding when you go off world or you go off planet. I mean, it's not fantasy, it's not a spoof, it's not anything. It's just reality. People have been going to Mars since the 60s. our first landing was done, I believe, in the Secret Space Program in 62. That was the conjointed Russian American effort, and that was in 1962, and that was what initiated the Great Space Race, the urgency to, you know, being that agency department was under consigned agreement to release after a certain amount of time, it's whatever. So the Secret Space Program was put on, and certain lines were said very discreetly, and it was laundered to the public without them even knowing.
Secret Space Program. So the thing is, there's this thing that was called the Alternative 3.
That is real footage.
That's real footage. Was it kind of surrounded by information, surrounded by disinfo, surrounded by information, or something like that?
Yeah, it was actually it was very mild disinfo, but for what they say, going to Mars and everything else, very real, and that is the real footage. That is Mars. You just know Mars when you see it. There's no faking it. I mean, there is just no faking it. Even in some of the footage, you know, there are rectangular force fields, there are square and spherical. That is seen in one of the footage. I was like, oh my God. You know, the craft got down to the ground to a certain angle, and guess what? Guess what appeared out of nowhere? Very visible, very definitive, very distinctive. No faking that. There's no faking. No faking the creatures, no faking the beings. That is real footage. I would run naked and serve you coffee if it wasn't.
So the story of Alternative 3 is that that they got hold of some footage and a decoding device that had to be inserted into a really high-end professional TV VCR. I mean, this is like
showy stuff.
Yeah. Big wide reels and everything like that from, you know, really early.
Well, that was real.
Yeah.
The reels, I mean, you know, the predecessor to videotape, it was videotape. It just wasn't video, you know, cassette.
Yeah, it wasn't a cassette. It was an open reel video. Yeah. that's the kind of level we're talking about. And it was full of data that was completely scrambled unless you had this special decoder, which this guy supposedly lost his life giving to the TV crew.
Yeah, that's actually a common format now, very readily available on most websites. But that was also utilized in the Apollo program. You know, JPEG image actually was an encryption file and a way of minimizing, compressing, and a way of keeping it more or less secret. But later became a very common file compression.
Really? It was originally set up as an encryption?
Yes.
Really? So you can key them? I never knew that. How do you set the key?
I have no clue.
Interesting. Well, if anybody knows how to set the key to a JPEG, we could be quite interested here. Anyway, meanwhile,
I think you can actually. I might get laughed at this, but I think you can actually do it in a very simple Word program.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I think there's a few tricks you can pull.
Interesting.
I mean, something to ponder.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I'm 100% right on that, but I suspect. You know, with Andrew Bishado and myself, there's actually a very specific piece of hardware, a specific laptop that we use that was actually its designation model, we believe, entails national reconnaissance. And it's actually the Hewlett-Packard, what I'm talking to you on now, is the Hewlett-Packard 6815NR, the NR DV 6815NR. And we believe it was one of the common pieces of hardware where you could, whatever, botanists, psychologists, or whatever, people in industry could get the, you know, have the computer, and use a very simple program, maybe a Linux-based program, and run the NASA images, and they could see what was really on Mars, or you know, get a damn good idea, and to see, you know, how to treat or deal with the people that these people were working with. And we really feel that that was a common piece of hardware that was put out in the public domain, and just you know, just right in front of people, just commonly disguised. It was also, in fact, happened to be the very first laptop when everybody was struggling to come out with 128 megabyte chips. They came out with a 512 video chip, and you know, quite a few other things. It was it's actually a really great computer.
Is that would you say this was industry sponsored?
I think so. I think it was. I think it, by its designation, that it very much was. I think it was just that people in industry didn't have to be given special hardware, which was hardly ever the case, except for when you went to Mars, and you know, or worked in an underground facility. You know, it's just a piece of common hardware that was specially made, and people, computer technicians, will tell you that particular model, that the video card is not necessarily better, but it definitely processes the video differently than any other chip. Not better or not worse, but just differently. And they said that it's just configured a little bit differently, or just unlike all the other video chips for laptops. And it processes it differently. It gives not protocol. It gives priority to certain things first. And it is really it's pretty amazing. You know, in 2008, 2009, you know, laptops were struggling to come out with the next 128 megabyte chip. Right? Remember that?
Yeah. I mean, it was 128 megs back in the day, wasn't it? But at the same time, it was quite it was a struggle for all these companies to kind of move ahead and pull ahead. I think they seem to be really whizzing these days. But
yeah, I mean, you know, the laptops, they utilized the RAM for the computer. But it was the first chip to ever utilize 512 instead of 128 for the thing. In fact, so much so that the BIOS was only written up to 128 because nobody had come out with it. But the PC will utilize 512.
Who could possibly want to use more than 512 megs of RAM?
Yeah, really. It was the original first gaming laptop.
Uh-huh.
That was its thing.
So this is the fella, and it's okay. Here's the thing: if you go to Mars, if you teleport to Mars, is there equipment out there, and can you take equipment with you?
Yes,
you can take you can take metal and things through these gates.
Yes, yes.
But you can't take loaded aluminium ammunition because
correct.
It will detonate.
Well, for the first rule was we didn't take ammunition because that is just what you didn't do. You didn't take any kind of weaponry, whatever. We were there peacefully, and I was going to be damned and determined to maintain that. In fact, I went above and beyond the call of duty on that one. There were kids that were dumb enough to take ammunition. And one thing you don't ever do is you don't bring ammunition in the presence of a gravity generator. In common sense, the gravity generator will oscillate the mercury in the primer for the ones that have it, and it will discharge the ammo. Common sense number two is you never took lighters into the teleporter. One out of 50 lighters or so would end up popping. And if you had a 16-minute trip, you know, if you had two astronomical units to go, 16 minutes to Mars, and you had a lighter pop on you, and God forbid there should be more than just yourself and the teleporter, you would probably die by the time you got there. And that, you'd die of asphyxiation, and that is just fact. I mean, it was party time in 84 where a lot of us went at once in the teleporter. It was a 8 minute and 4 minutes trips to Mars. That you could have four or even five people in the teleporter at once. You know, in 84 we had four people in the teleporter. It was Andrew Bishago, Courtney Hunt, myself, and some person that denies that they were there. That, of course, I can't change his opinion. So blah, yeah, blah, blah.
That's their opinion.
And yeah. Courtney Hunt, as you know, is the, I believe, the first cousin of E. Howard Hunt. And Bishago, the first traveler, teleportee, he was very much part of the Mars colonization program, where part of the planet Mars is the 51st state of the United States. We have Mars is an inhabited planet. There's about 2 to 3 million people on Mars at any given time. It's just it's Mars. There's just things you just would not see on Earth that you see on Mars. You know, you learn very quickly that 5 and 6 foot tall people or humanoids is not standard. You know, you have 8-inch tall humanoids. You have 5-inch tall. You have 37-foot tall humanoids. You have 50-foot tall humanoids. The 50-foot tall are usually on the moon, but that's just fact. And you learn that the conscious value of humans or people or living beings is the same no matter the size. That's why people like us or humanoids are human very much like us. We're genetically engineered to be around a foot tall because of the lack of resources on Mars. And there's just no describing it to people.
So hang on a second, the 1 foot tall people that you've mentioned before, you're saying that they were genetically engineered to exist on Mars more efficient, more congenially, using up less resources and stuff. But they still hold the same size consciousness as a 50 foot human.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever see a disruptor gun that's a barbed doll arm? That thing can do some damage. That thing can kill you. And, we had fun with local on Earth and learning about it on Mars, or those things that, you know, very nicely, you get sprayed in the face kind of, as a deterrent. It's usually reserved, you know, that type of thing is reserved for deterring, predators. Like if a predator charged at you when it feels that it knows enough by now to stop, I mean, it'll run into a wall that it doesn't see or whatever. And, there's settings that where it's not overpowering at all, just let you know that's there. And there's settings that will make your cellular structure explode inside your body. It is definitely not the more congenial way of dying in front of a flash gun or by a flash gun. Where your spirit is returned to creation, it's freaking miserable, and I mean miserable. I've had a little bit of shoulder damage that took a little while to repair, and just the having all those exploded cells in your body, you feel like you're going to die just from being sick.
So this is a disrupt, and you're saying that these 1 foot tall guys have got these little weapons that are microscopically tiny to our size, but can still do a vast amount of damage.
Yeah, they're about 2 to 3 times to scale in size to the height, but they hold it just fine. They're a person, and they're entitled to care whatever, and for the most, very reasonable. A little taking liberties type at times. I mean, you get off the teleporter and you meet up with somebody and they're standing 8 feet away from you, and then you feel your pants button disappear. You know, you have to say, please don't do that. Can you give it back? No, sorry, I can't. Yeah, metals would disappear. If you had metals on your body, they would kind of just very conveniently disappear.
How do they do that?
On Mars. Well, flash gun. You just, you know, you have a silver, brass, copper, or, you know, brass, tin. Not so much tin. Well, actually, tin's valued. Zinc's valued. You know, copper on you. It'll disappear. It'll get utilized. You know, same thing happens when you're on round vehicles. I'd have to, you know, I'd talk with the vehicle or the ship. You know, I reserve a little place on the ship where couldn't touch any, you know, or I put something safely. I'd ask it to, you know, I'd have to carry something. So if I had something like something that had batteries in it and it wasn't inductively shielded, then, you know, then it would shield it to where the batteries wouldn't drain down. Or you can take a flash gun and charge up the batteries and just make sure you sine wave it for whatever value the battery is.
So this flash gun...
Sine wave.
this flash gun, more and more, when can I get one? And, what's the storage unit? What's the energy source of the thing?
Well... It's basically a rod technology on it, but it utilizes a crystalline structure which produces a field which very much looks like the Star of David, three-dimensionally. Yeah, oscillating energy. That's the crystalline structure in it. It kind of looks like a crystalline structure, but that's the shape, what's inside. It has, you know, the better models, the living, devices, you know, it just looks like a solid piece. You ever see those automatic can openers? The chrome ones?
Yeah. Sometimes. Oh, it depends. It's the American ones are different from the British ones, but, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
something well, that's sort of hand-sized.
Yeah, it kind of looks, yeah. I would say it's about, 6 to 7 inch, I'd say it's about 244 millimeter.
What's that in inches? Talk to me in inches.
Well, that would be 10 inches, but it's not 10 inches long. Well, I think it's 200 millimeters long. That would be 8 inches.
Yeah. So the sort of like the size of the Sonic. I mean, have you seen Doctor Who?
Yes.
He carries the Sonic screwdriver, which is about 7-8 inches long.
Huh. Are you kidding?
And it produces, it generates sounds and can presumably know whether it's in tune or not. So he can pick up all sorts of frequencies. It's a spectral analyzer.
Well, this thing can, you know, you can pick up a car with it and hold the car up in the middle of the in the air. You can melt a hole in the rocks on a cliffside and make a house or make a home. That's general what they use them for. You know, you collect certain metals, you could reduce the car to elements and store it in the device. That's what you do.
What, it's like a pattern buffer from elements?
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Who makes these things? The Greys!
I didn't say like, what's his name? Yeah. Creepy guy. Never mind.
Aliens. Guy with the hair. I don't know. Is that TV, that sort of doctor guy, scientist, astro guy?
Mashu Kaku.
All right.
I think that's the guy, person.
Is it?
All right, hold on. My fan went. Can you hold on a second?
Yeah. I will.
Interruption for 30 seconds so I can plug in the fan because it's 89% humidity and it's 89 degrees.
Bless your heart. So while William is sweating away, I'm just going to address some of the chat room things. So we have a question from Tracy coming in, and I'll ask that when Will's just back there. So
you hear that.
And so Dolly's saying, people spill the beans, and the next thing that you know, they've fallen on a bullet down the elevator shaft. And so the question is, well, one question is, from Tracy, is, are they pig-monkey hybrids like us, these little humanoids? Are they made from the same genetic materials, or are they like a different thing? Do you know?
Yeah. Well.
Are they made of pig-monkey hybrid like we are, or other creatures?
That's a very dynamic question.
Okay. Well, no, Tracy's a pretty dynamic girl.
Can you repeat that?
So she's asking, because it was a few minutes ago. Obviously, there's a delay between people hearing this and then asking questions. So, you know, we've moved on a few things. But you were talking about the different sizes of humanoids on the planet, and that these creatures were modified, these beings were modified to be on Mars, so they were little. They made them little. And so Tracy's saying, are they made of pigs and monkeys as well, like we are?
Well, there are things, there are very tall things on Mars. They're designed to eat specific things. You wouldn't believe that the general diet of what most of the creatures on Mars eat is fecal matter. Literally, the joke, when you take a crap on Mars, you're feeding something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really what the diet is. That's not, I'm telling you the truth. Some creatures are designed to hunt down other predators or other type things. Other creatures. When you're on Mars, most people on Mars are vegetarians. If you're not, you hang out in the non-vegetarian area, which is usually called, where the prey hangs out at. And, you know,
let's go prey.
Yeah, so I mean, you're vegan if you intend to go to Mars. That's just what you do.
Yeah, well, how long do you have to be vegan in order to pass? I mean, the stuff has to pass through your body, doesn't it?
That's 3 days. That you're a free radical, because it's detectable. But that's all individual to the person that goes type thing, and that's about it. I mean, I don't really have too much more to say on that.
Well, it's definitely a more sustainable, especially for space travel. Presumably, it's easier to grow hydroponic aquaponics. Well, hydroponic on a spaceship. Yeah. Well, I mean, what's the deal? What's the deal? How do people
Most things grow better in craters. It keeps out the predatorial life and the atmosphere is thicker. When you get to Mars, Mars is about 800 millibar. To give you an idea that NASA has lied to everybody and their brother, is NASA states Mars's atmosphere to for the last 40 years to be 8 millibar, one number out of 1,000. Earth's atmosphere is 1,000 millibar, equivalent to 1 bar or 1 Earth atmosphere, or the equivalent of 14.7 psi. NASA has stated for 40 years plus that Mars's atmosphere is the number 8 out of 1,000, 8 millibar. Which is completely ludicrous and absurd. And it's sad that nobody else has ever really picked up on it. Type thing, the general public. What are you going to use a parachute in 8 millibar? 8 millibar, you could electrostatically plate aluminum onto plastic or mylar without using cryogenics. It is that much of almost perfect vacuum. Yeah. Is what NASA is stating Mars to be, which is completely absurd. And of course, They find water? Of course they find water. It's an inhabited planet. I mean, you could, you know, worst case scenario, you could look up the very first picture that Spirit Rover took. The very, very first image, which is why they lost the image for 4 years plus, and then found it and put it in a hidden URL that people took another 2 to 3 years to find and locate, was actually a picture of a crab that had crawled up on the rover. You can see the serrated teeth and the claws. You can see the tentacles. You know, you can see the eyes. You can see the shell. You can see everything. You see, and there's two separate angles. There's the left and the right camera. So, I mean, you know, it's no wonder that they lost the first heroic Spirit Rover pick. You know?
Because it actually showed a real Martian looking back at us, and it was exactly what we'd feared.
Oh, it was not only on the scene, it was on the rover itself.
It right was in the face. It was in our face.
Yeah.
Hello.
I put it up there with Ross Curley's discovery of the 1959 Chevy truck on Mars and the people standing in front of it.
Yeah, so what's that doing there?
Well, those are people. That's a basically a truck that's been modified with electric motor, and it's probably either run on rod technology or a flash gun gives it traditional electrons or whatever. But it's probably a military or probably agency or, you know, or somebody from agency hauling stuff someplace, or, you know, have a another vehicle next to it that looked kind of like a modified tank. And so, you know, it was probably taken around opportunity. It was probably that equipment was probably put up there in the mid 90s, the truck and all, you know, the truck.
How did you get the truck to Mars? Through the jump room or through around
it? They teleported it. They just
do they have industrial scale teleport machines?
Oh yeah, they have some very large ones. They have I believe they really got it down to the truly instant teleportation, where it's truly instant, where there's no time delay. And that takes a lot of repeaters, but there are a lot of it's equipment. It's it's just equipment. We were technically taking some equipment. I was actually taking food. I was taking baked beans, lettuce, tomato. The lettuce wasn't really a big deal, but it did make it nice. We'd bring tomatoes, potatoes. It was always focused on stuff of substance to it. Sustenance and substance.
Substance or substance. So could you grow stuff on Mars? Like you said, in the crater, you could grow tomatoes, for instance.
Yeah. It's like being about 500 feet below the tree line on Earth. That's Mars. When you get to Mars, you're not going to be running any marathons. And the biggest ice was when we teleported there, jumped. The very first thing you did was take inventory of what was around you. You take a look and see what was out there. You know, see if it could come up on you real quick. See if it could, make sure that it couldn't chase you down and eat you. I mean, they're seriously, and it was described, and there were things that it was impregnated on me that there were things that could be literally a mile and a half, 2 miles off, and if you had 500 feet to run, you were dead. No question. I mean, this thing could have run in excess of 90 miles an hour. It had 12-foot long legs.
Holy crap. It
could really, it could literally be a mile and a half off, and if you had just a little bit, 1.5 football fields to run, or even a football field, I mean, the whole general consensus by multiple people was if you could see it, you were too close. It was that bad. And it didn't really dawn on me, you know, we were overlooking a plateau, but around the backside, it was about 2 miles off, and that was the one creature that you looked, that was the one dinosaur-looking thing that you looked out for. I mean, you just looked for that thing. If there was a hungry reptilian or something next to you, you just say, you know, give me a minute, please. And, work out whatever's going on. But, I mean, that was seriously something that you looked for, and that if it was behind the jump room structure, and the back end of the plateau sloped to the ground, so it was about 2.5 miles off, and you had good warning of what was coming back. But you know, we didn't know at the time. You know, the first couple I had no clue that the larger jump room structure was shielded. And in fact, I don't think they really got it up and working reliably in place, that other beings would come around and take some metal from something or whatever. But you know, kind of weird, the iron piping on the balcony, which was, and the elevator door stayed in place. It never changed. It was actually painted a kind of a green, and the next jump I did in 84, it was still there. In fact, there was a piece of not paint bubble, but something that got painted over, and that was still there right on the support part of it on the it was like a real short balcony, maybe like 2 to 3 feet wide, but it was real long, about 10 feet long, and that was on the other side of the jump room structure, and you could overlook the plateau and get a good bird's eye view of what was behind the jump room structure, and you could go up there and have a look out, and that was still there. So I mean, nobody came along and absorbed the iron or whatever into the electron, even though iron is actually pretty well desired on Mars, actually, surprisingly.
Iron's a very interesting thing.
Yes,
because it came from space.
It came from space.
Hang on.
It came from space.
I think there's a reverb on that. did you get reverb on that?
I caught half of that. It Skyped out on me.
Oh, Skype is crap.
You sound like Stephen Hawking.
It came from space. Anyway, meanwhile... What's that?
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's Stephen.
Stephen loves me.
Live on air.
That's one of my fun things I do on my radio show.
What's that?
Or something I like to do. Stephen Hawking likes to goof on me a lot, and we like to goof on Stephen Hawking a little bit.
Does he leave weird messages on your answer phone?
He does! He keeps bringing up Crisco or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It must have been that one night we spent together.
Oh, you scientists. What you get up to. I don't know what you get up to, you scientists. How do you share your ideas? I know how you do it.
We get such a bad rap.
You take their brains apart and you implant them right in the middle. That's how you share ideas. I know. I've been watching Fringe.
Right.
I've been watching Fringe, man.
What
a show. What a show. I mean, it's like everything you've been telling me about, and it's everything other people have been telling me about, and great.
Yeah, and Eureka, too, actually. Eureka, that's not too far from true. if people wanted something hidden in the public eye, actually the town Eureka.
Whereabouts is that?
I think we're moving on. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see.
Okay.
iron element 26 does, as John Searle's team and John Searle have both confirmed, that iron does and doesn't fall within the quantum state. It's very much like helium and hydrogen. Very unusual. Iron is like the gold of reduced elements, and is great for an electron, or great for iron loss. That always holds the same for me. I mean, really. Iron is a very interesting element, really, and very much so is. There's quite a few things and stuff. You there, JP?
Yeah. So you seem to you drifted off a little bit there.
I was watching the silly people across the street. there seems to be like some little little feud going on with a couple people across the street.
A small domestic occurring.
Yeah, I'm waiting for somebody to just get ridiculous, but I guess it's just a little bit of yelling.
Okay, until they do, can you talk some more science with us? Because we find it sexy.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Iron's a very interesting element, and there's some comparatives. When the World Trade Center, when the 700 feet of the columns disappeared,
okay,
on camera, it wasn't that. The iron got returned to a time domain, or to a fourth dimension, and the powder, the dust that people saw, were actually the even numbered elements. Even though iron element 26 is even, it doesn't fall within a quantum state. And what people saw was actually the even numbered elements. They saw the, and I got a disinfo a little bit.
Quickly.
Yeah. Oh well. What disappeared was nickel, carbon, what turned to powder was the nickel, carbon, and chromium. A little bit of, vanadium's element 23. But what they saw was element 24, chromium, nickel, element 28, and some carbon, element 6. And that's what they saw turn to dust. That was, the chromium's about half to 1%, the nickel's about 3.5%. And the carbon's about half to 1%. And that's what people saw, and that's why it didn't amount to anything of the mass of the steel beams that were there in place that disappeared on camera. You recall that?
Yeah. And yes, it all disappeared into a pile no higher than one story tall.
Yeah.
And they made sure of that, didn't they?
Yes, they hollowed out the buildings, a cylindrical shape, and the way we learned that when gravity and its propagation propagates instantly, like 10 to the 8th, it more or less just is we were teleporting, we were utilizing a gravity generator and all, but we, keep in mind there's 8 different forms of teleportation. We were going at near speed of light to our destination, to where the receiving unit was, and we would teleport to Mars. So we were...
Sorry, did you get triggered?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll go away from that.
I got struck by a little bolt of lightning.
Yeah, I could hear it. It's a doing.
It wasn't bad. It was just, I feel bad. Oh, God, I feel like my dad is yelling at me right now.
We started talking about iron.
Go on. I just forgot what we were talking about, was all.
Uh-huh. We were talking about iron, really, in the first place, and these properties of iron. Hang on, I keep thinking iron is 56, is that right?
No, 56 barium.
56 is barium?
Yeah, let me pull up a periodic table here. That's a rotor oscillator. It's divisible by 4. I got it. I didn't even bookmark my periodic table, which I used to have it on the other computer.
I Google it all the time. So,
yeah.
For our newer members of our audience,
yeah,
let's just drill down. Now we're within 2 or 3 minutes of the little tuny coming up. So can we just let's have a quick look at elements and oscillators and rotors. Right, so let me see if I can remember this, right? Because I'm trying to remember this, because it's important.
It's excellent.
All right,
you've done a great job before.
Odd numbers oscillate. Is that right?
That is correct.
Oh, I'm trying to make rules, you see? I make rules. Odd mnemonics. Odd numbers oscillate, and...
Right.
Even numbers rotate.
Correct.
Okay, so
oscillators.
Now, before we go on, well, Will, when you say it rotates, what is rotating around what axis?
Well, that's a good question.
I know.
Well, I know you're going to ask something like that. The best way I can explain it is that the oscillators oscillate the effect. The rotors produce the effect. The rotors will present the effect. So it's kind of like having an electron on like an oscillator type thing, and the amperage is the rotor. Delivers the current. See?
Okay. We'll test everybody on this after the break. Thank you very much. We'll be back. Stay tuned. We're talking to Will Stillings. Woohoo! Yes, indeed. Welcome back to Journeys. A rather moist JP just now. While I was doing the first hour of the show, my son was having a bath without knowing that the overflow didn't overflow down a drain. It overflowed down into the floor. There's water everywhere, and he's done very well and soaked up most of the water in towels and rinsed out the towels, and very good. So thanks very much for not flooding the whole house out, Joe.
What?
Thank you very much for not flooding the whole house out and tidying up. Huh? It's the bath's fault. It is a fault with the
nice
bath.
Nice one, Joe.
It's true. Nice one. Will says nice one. Anyway, I was a bit distracted. But anyway, we were talking about oscillators and rotors. So a rotor generates something, and oscillators modify it. Is that right? Somehow? They qualify it. Is it like the oscillator wouldn't oscillate were it not for a rotor? Or does the oscillator... doesn't rotate were it not for an oscillator. Am I doing anywhere like ideas here?
Well, it's... They need both each other, basically. You need to produce the effect. It's complementary. I mean, we live just fine, but we need oxygen. You know, we can do without it at times under special conditions, but or those conditions can be falsified to some degree. But they interact one with the other. The rotors, basically, I guess the best way to describe it is that it's like a spin property, but not. It can go in any direction, and just, I don't know how to describe it. I honestly don't. Okay, I did. Well, I described this once before, and I just can't do it.
Yeah, I know. You see, this is maybe we need to approach it. You know, back off and approach it from another perspective.
Yeah, we'll come back to it. It'll factor in a bit.
Yeah, yeah. So, because you know, one of the first times I was listening to what you were saying, and you were going on about oscillators and rotors and rotors and oscillators, yeah. And you're going to go oscillator, rotor, oscillator. And I'm going, what the heck is he talking about? As I'm sure, like 90% of the other people who also listen to those shows, but we know that sometime we're going to understand it. Sometime further down the road, it's going to be like, there's going to be enough people understand enough little fragments of this that we can all, as a communion mind, kind of get it, and then everybody gets it. This is my hope, that, you know, as a group mind, we understand this, what you're talking about, and that you're sort of injecting a meme into a morphic field. Wow.
Right. To simplify it, all, you know, all things come in threes type thing, and that holds true. I mean, you need two odd numbered elements and one even numbered element for, you know, chemtrails, teleporters, time travel, gravity generators, everything. They follow that basic principle law, and you know, there's ways to synthesize things, but that's basically the bottom line. You know, you have aluminum element 13, you have manganese element 25, and you have barium element 56. You know, and element 56 is divisible by 4, which makes the rotor oscillator 8 play a part above. And typically, chemtrails and gravity generators will have an element that's divisible by 4. And those are the basic principles of being able to create and manifest that effect, whether it be chemtrails or whether it be a gravity generator for teleporting or a round vehicle, you know, for traversing distance or for whatever, for time travel, you know, all of the above. So, I mean, the oscillators will make the effect possible to produce the things needed to be able to make, or to, will make the effect, and the rotor will present it or condition it to be able to utilize it or to present it. And
so in the way that a microphone turns sound into electricity, it changes it from one...
Exactly. That would be an oscillator, and the rotor might be the computer, where it processes everything and presents it in a viable way to use. You know, whether it bends it all sorts of ways or rotates it to where it could be utilized again. You look at the quantum computer or the the light computer, the photon computer. Basically, you know, you're dealing with constituents, and you're dealing with, one spin, half spin, three quarter spin, three half spin, and you have 72 constituents to a spin property. You take 3 or 5 or 8 of the constituents away, and have a whole new value, and that's a computer in itself. That's the abacus on roids.
All right. Well, you totally lost me somewhere.
Well, you
somewhere a long way away.
You have a zero spin. You have a half spin. You have 8 constituents. You have a 3 half spin. You have 8, 28 constituents, 56 constituents, 72 constituents.
Hey. What constituents of an atom? Of an atom.
Synonymous with spin.
All right, so we're talking about a nucleus, yeah?
Well, yeah, you're talking about, electrons, half spin. They don't turn 90 degrees. They turn to 45 degree angles. You know, electrons will only bend really at 45 degree angle. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know that. Because I'm really an expert, and I know exactly how electric. 45 degrees. They'll only go for
correct.
So they'll take a pretty sharp turn, but they won't take a full turn. But
yeah.
Then you just do two of them.
90.
How long does it take? Right. What's the hysteresis? How long does it take them just to recover?
Oh, you are just full of questions.
Oh.
It depends on what your impedance is.
Oh, thank you.
you are just Mr. Questions today, aren't you, Jay?
Why do you ask?
No, I know, I'm just kidding. But you know, I mean, there are certain spin properties, and with those spin properties, you have constituents that go with that. So you just minus a constituent, you have a whole value. You take 37 constituents away, and you have a perfect computer. You have a light speed perfect computer that can hold vast amount of information. The United States government industry has already passed the light computer. They're already past the quantum computer. So those will be introduced into industry because they've already been tested and approved. And it has already been done and utilized. We've already utilized those things. I mean, there are quantum computers for just basic things that would rival every frickin' computer on Earth if it were tied together.
Tied no together? Joke. How do you mean tied together?
Yeah. Just series. I mean, you take 100 of the same computer and just, parallel them, or what do you call it?
You make a distributed array processor.
Yeah, you make a supercomputer out of it. You know, you do the low-budget college version. And, there are quantum computers that would rival every computer manufacturer if they were all networked together.
All right.
It's that fast.
So you got, there are light computers, and this is, we're envisaging light computers in the 70s. So presumably they appeared around the 90s. In the industry and haven't appeared yet.
Oh,
is this the gel? Yeah. Is this the bag of gel that they talk about that is unpleasant to interface to?
Well, it got to, with all the compilations of time travel data that you know, time traveling and all the info that us were bringing back that were going forward in time and bring back information. And a lot of the compilations is that, I mean, they have scenarios where they can put, people in a city and predict which person runs the red light on what day, at what time, and be accurate. Simulations, you understand?
So they've got simulation programs, and when were they available to industry?
About mid-80s, it didn't really start getting good until about the 90s, and then it went quiet because it was so damn good, and then it was being openly utilized from about 97 on.
All right, so if they had that tech in the 80s, what can they be predicting now? You know, have they got everything down to the simulation?
Well, who do you know that's predicted some things with accuracy?
No one.
Who on your
show? Is it because?
Well, no. Who on your show right now do you know? I've done a few things. I've done a few things more than just what I've been public about.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's a couple of big events that took place. You can see me actually in the footage of when someplace in Greece blew up. That blew up actually in the, after the year 2000. Strange thing is that the, person is me, but the person is a, under the age of 20, which, you know, I've heard it in talking. and there was an activity that was going on, and a bomb had gone off in that location, whether we were there to study it or not, if you know what I mean.
So,
and go on, I'm sorry. That delay.
So, yeah, I'm sorry, that's why I say so. I was just going to throw one in there. This is, you know, I've been watching Fringe, and they have these beings they call the observers. And they appear at specific times and places to record the events.
Right. The document.
Yeah. So this is really complex. This is really complex because it's like really... They're creating such ripples in time by doing so.
Yeah, there was a few times I had to debrief and stuff, and a few very formal, lengthy debriefing, which one was in excess of 11 hours, which I think was probably the most miserable debriefing time ever. You know, in fact, it got so confusing based on the duration. I wasn't sure what the topic was about. And, you know, but, you know, there's a lot of forward, you know, travel that we've done, that we've time traveled forward quite a bit. And, you know, and seen some future events. A lot of us weren't lined up to do certain things. You know, a lot of that was inherent. You know, some things I just wouldn't go on. It's like, no, I don't want to know about that. I don't want to, you know those things. I don't want to know that. And, you know, a lot of them was, go look anyways, of course, or thing, but, you know, you go do it anyways and just, you know, and it's not all pleasant either. I mean, I've seen some people die. I've seen some. I saw one guy shot by a officer in another country, and you know, it's kind of weird. I mean, the guy was shot in the leg, and it was completely different than here. I mean, here the cop would shoot the person, shot him in the leg, and the cop would tackle him, and the guy would be suffocating. During that time and there, which was, you know, after 2000, the guy was shot in the leg, and he like waved us on and put his hand up against a pole, and the cop just stayed back really very kind of mellow and just radioed in, and you could swear the cop asked the guy if he was all right, and like he was going to ask him if he wanted some tea or something. You know, I almost swear I saw him ask him if he wanted to sit down. But, you know, the cop intended and shot the guy that he intended to shoot. And that was right after the explosion. He started running, and I guess it caught him off guard. And I guess the cop thought it was suspicious. but, you know, shot him right in the leg, and the guy was still standing and just kind of hobbled over to the light pole. And I got in the car. And we left, and we were driving down the street, and another explosion went off. And, you know, and that was kind of a little bit of the more specific Remembered International activity therefore. It's not really an example of documenting. It was something else, but... I've been advised, so. There, Jay.
I'm here. I'm here for you. So, there are these events that happen, that would have happened anyway, but that then get augmented. Not only augmented, but it's played on loads of different levels. It's played on the stock exchange. Because if you know that events are going to happen, you can make investments, can't you? Like, for instance,
in fact,
you would know about airplanes, and you would like take out investment called a, what are they called? Where you bet on something's going to fail. I can't remember. Is it a short?
Oh, a short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you know that a building's going to be attacked by an aeroplane, for instance, you would go short on American Airlines.
Well, I can talk pretty quietly as we're still on the radio.
To give you an idea when all that transpired was, remember when Greece had that problem?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That. Yeah, I don't think I was 17 years old when I did that. You know, and I'm in my 40s now, and I've been living with that for like 25 years. And that happened like 2007, 2006, 2007, 2008. Maybe a little later. Huh. You there, JP?
Yeah, yeah. So there's this 20-year thing, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's like 1983, yeah. 2003. Well, what is this? What is the 20-year thing?
Let me give you an idea. If they were looking for a suspect that looked like a very skinny, white, young, adolescent teen in the area during an activity or something, to ask them as a witness what they saw, they would never find them. You understand?
Perfect crime.
Because I am 40 years old now. Do you understand?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's one of the inherent gratuitous aspects of that. I don't feel comfortable talking to you.
No,
to Mars.
Let's go back to Mars, which is a much more comfortable thing. Because space and time, I'm fascinated by this. I'm fascinated by the fact that it takes a different amount of times to get to Mars, depending on where in the sky it is and where we are in relation to it. Oh, Will, have you heard of the Dr. Bhatt, B-H-A-T, view of the solar cosmology, is that that we are hurtling through space and we're spiraling behind the sun?
I like him.
I'm sorry, say that again?
You're talking about... I like him. You're talking about the Indian researcher, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. Absolutely like him. I haven't studied up on too much of his stuff, and wouldn't be able to say much. But from what I've read, he's very in tune, and he's someone good to read up on and research.
Well, you know, it's like, in the old days, we had, like, the people who believed in the flat Earth. And now, we have we have the expanding Earth. We have, also, we have the flat solar system believers as well. So, and it's quite interesting. So, the idea that the sun is hurtling through space at a vast speed, but the space that it's cutting, it's cutting a swathe and making a huge wake, and that's where we are, and that's why it's a vacuum, and that it's not necessarily a vacuum outside of that bubble. Is that true?
Kind of. It's kind of different principle, but we're on that part of the motor right now where there's a dead spot. And we're generating an effect. You know, we're accelerating, as John Searle would say, just like an SCG, we're tunneling the, through an eddy current, basically converting to an eddy current type thing, but we're accelerating the electrons outward, and, you know, positive pair, press it, and it accelerates, amplifies. It's an auto amplifier. We're a working motor generator, and that's basically, it's the same thing.
Wow.
It doesn't, it's not, but he definitely is in a step up to mainstream science than mainstream science. I mean, they're still stuck at light to particle thing, and which is a joke. And, you know, light is all wave. You know, and science is still, you know, still banging rocks together. Knuckle dragging. Basically.
Excellent. Here's the thing. Tracy has just come on and said, what they're talking about is real and comes online around September. The memory available to Titan is on the order of at least 5 zettabytes or 5 trillion gigabytes, which is enough memory to incorporate 41 million human brains. Okay, who's going to need all that memory? What the, I mean, okay, so we got multidimensional video. Where are we going with this? Is it to create the machine that they called the Matrix?
Oh,
the Matrix?
Yeah. Creation or people. You know, all the consciousness is recorded on hydrogen, and it's basically all that consciousness is compiled at that compression wave. And that's, you know, this is the time where we're heightened up in our conscious level. And Tracy loves me. She says, she wants to call me and interview me too, I think. Does she do a radio show?
Oh yeah, she loves you.
Yeah,
and she's got a very sexy voice.
I know. That's the fun part.
That's the fun part. So this what's the purpose of this machine? Are they going to upload us all? Are they going to kill us all off and upload our minds? Are they trying to steal our souls into a computer? What's the deal? Is it going to be your Facebook?
Yeah. Well, we don't use that word really. The spirit is just fine. It's the ones that want you to pay taxes that are trying to kill you. they just want to keep you on Earth for you to pay taxes and stuff. They're just it's just horrible. I mean, it's you know, and it's those, oh God, it's just awful. It's that all those things that are in place right now for development are just for that, for development, for growing, for bettering our current status, for us to develop and to build. You know, that's, you know, people are just getting scared is all. You know, there's no real big mystery to it. You know, I'm pretty smart like this because I've experienced a lot of this stuff. You know, I've teleported quite a few times. I've time traveled. I've been off world. I've been quite a few underground facilities. I've ran naked in front of a few senators and congressmen. I've got experience, damn it.
You've been there. Tell us about when you ran naked in front of Commerce.
I danced naked as a joke in front of younger George Bush at the Grove, at the Orange Grove.
I bet he enjoyed that.
No, he laughed. He's nothing funny about him that way. He got total humor out of it, and he was looking around to see if he sent me to do that. It was funny. We teleported in, and it was just something optional and right timing to do type thing. I mean, we knew who he was. We knew he was going to be president later, so it was kind of like it was a fun thing to do.
You just did it to freak him out and to give him a laugh. Brilliant.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're at the place, so, I mean, that was the place to do it. It was funny.
Excellent.
It was funny. I mean, you had to have been there. He was walking, he was just on his way, walking right up the little road hill to up to go sign in into the building. And that's actually where I went to. I mean, I got my clothes back on and signed in, and there were some people there. I'm sure he was just visiting a friend.
Tracy says you're lucky he didn't bend you over.
Yeah, Tracy, come on, he had the whole country for that. He was saving up.
Brilliant.
But, I'm sure it's naughty.
So, from time travel, from oscillators and rotors to dancing naked, having teleported in front of George W. Bush with nothing but a smile. Well, did you have the music?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have music to dance to? Or did you have to dance to your own music? Oh, I hear a sound. Is that what you were dancing to?
We're going to have a party tonight on Blog Talk.
Oh, excellent.
Show, which is okay. 3 hours. Yeah, 3 hours. Or 9 p.m. Pacific Standard.
Yeah, what's your channel called on Blog Talk?
Oh, Tech Talk. Blog Talk Radio, a show called Tech Talk, where we talk about what we're talking about now, Tesla-based technology, teleporters, chemtrails, senators, congressmen, Satoru, or Gina Dugan, who's very sweet and awesome, Andrew Bishago, who is probably the most experienced time traveler, teleportee that I know, and probably on time travel. I mean, he's used some old style equipment that would scare Tesla to use.
So did Tesla himself use time travel?
Oh yes, he was getting to the time travel aspect. And he definitely had built quite a few teleporters, definitely built a lot of free energy devices, like that tower.
Yeah.
When the tough coils aren't throwing sparks, they're really, when they're in the apparent turned off state, they are a free energy receiver. They're a free energy device. He was very much talking about the disinfo. He was very much talking about setting up towers, which are free energy devices. Not really transmitting it. That's the disinfo. The Earth already is a generator. It's just getting energy off of that. And so there's the disinfo of the day, people. Was, you know, the beauty, it was very beautiful, was throwing sparks. The beauty of it is when the device is turned off and where it's receiving a free energy, like power a town with a couple towers. To that extent, to where all the power needs are, that the oil is in reserve for during the 2012 period, not to be dependent on it throughout the whatever, not in the 40s, not in, you know, this started sort of in the 40s, 50s, 60s, but we're on a long wave. But Revolution Radio is where, what's the show called, JP? Journeys with JP is where you're going to hear the real physics, the real aspects, and the prime movers that make the world go round in its society. You're not going to hear any other show, maybe talk J Jeremy's video is where you're going to hear that. Sorry. I had to do a plug. Horrible, horrible plug.
No, no, it's great. It's just perfect. Oh, sweetheart. We loved... Did you ever see that movie? Tracy's just bringing it up. What was it called? The Prestige. With Michael Caine and David Bowie playing Nikola Tesla. Did you ever see that?
I did. That was pretty good. I did see it, and I'll have to tell you in private, but I don't remember too much about it. that was actually strange, because that movie was playing when I actually blanked out one time.
Oh, and, was there a trigger in it?
We'll have to talk off the air.
We'll have to talk off the air. Okay.
Yeah.
So the next question was that your stripper music? This is another question from Tracy.
Here's my stripper music. Hold on, Tracy. She loves me.
What's not to love?
And you're on live with Tracy Kennedy. Work that pole.
What is that music? It's really hard to hear. What's the name of it?
That's just a song I like.
So,
did you like that, JP?
It didn't come across Skype too well, let me just put it that way.
Oh.
And then it's going through a pair of rather rickety cordless headphones that are held together by duct tape and prayer. meanwhile, Tracy's spamming. You watch out, girl, you're going to get knocked by hell. Anyway, somebody talk to Tracy in the chat room before she gets knocked off from spamming it. Anyway, meanwhile, I have William Stillings here. This is Revolution Radio, playing also on Wolf Spirit Radio, playing also on No Borders Radio. Please locate the little yellow buttons that say donate and put a couple of dollars in, because you enjoyed this amazing show. In fact, Will has a special PayPal address which will buy him Starbucks tokens, which will feed this poor man his coffee.
Nice.
Donation. So if anybody wants to buy Will a cup of coffee, what is it, Will the Edison Man? No, what's your email? What's your
Williams Stillings at Gmail, just WILLIAMSTILLINGS, William Stillings at gmail.com.
There you go, William Stillings at gmail.com. Send him some love. Buy him some coffee. There you go.
Is absolutely, absolutely loved. Anything. If we have a few activities coming up where actual funding is, we're going to be building and presenting some things, and we're basically going to be presenting a gravity generator and putting it in a plastic solid box and floating it on the ceiling. In fact, we're going to challenge people to try to discredit it to the point to where they can pick the building. And we won't touch the device or from the point of where we travel to the building to starting it. And once you start it up, we'll just take a simple battery, we'll start it up, and once it gets up to a certain RPM, we'll just unplug it and then plug it into itself. and it goes from there, and it will put out a sloppy projected gravity, but it'll bounce around, but it'll float on the ceiling.
So it'll kind of wobble its way up to the ceiling. Well, how fast would it do?
Yeah.
Would it kind of go?
It'll go pretty quick.
It might bang against the ceiling.
It's not. It'll hit. We have to put foam around it, and I got to make sure that that it doesn't distort or bend or nothing hits the spinning plates on the inside.
Yeah, it'd have to be. Is it contained above and below in some way? You know, because it's
a
like
little bit.
It's rollers, isn't it?
There's the. We'll call they're the three guns on it that and there's a kind of, you know, a little structural cage, but we put it in the plastic box, and we secure it to the plastic box, and we foam around the eye, so when it hits the ceiling, it doesn't jar it. And that's just the one thing you don't want to do. It's not perfectly tuned, so it will incur some inertia. Mm. It won't be completely inertialess on its. It's not tuned to a platform, so to speak, just to itself and the plastic casing. It has to be there. But you float anything on the ceiling, and it's not doing a helicopter effect. Hence the plastic box, and you know, you don't know the location, so you can't say be accused of planting magnets or anything. It's an impressive display, and it's very impressive. Short of picking up a car and holding it in midair, it's an impressive display.
That is something to look forward to. Tracy'd like to come and talk to you.
Oh yeah, hi Tracy.
Hang on, let's bring her in. Come on, Tracy. There you are. Hello, darling.
Here I am. I thought I should come on before I got kicked off because I'm the only one making comments.
I thought I was pushing the envelope on that.
No. Tracy loves you.
So,
how are you doing?
On you go.
I did loving the show, guys. Like, such incredible topics again. For a second show, and it's this new and awesome. Loving it.
It's very spontaneous.
And all the stuff you're talking about can be backed up, like all of it. So here we are in a brave new world.
You know, I think a really good guest would be to have on would be Sean Stone. He's a really an up and rising director. You know, son of Oliver Stone.
Yes,
he's heard
of him.
Is he the guy that works with Jesse?
Yeah, he's on Jesse Ventura's Conspiracy Theory. He works with Tyrell Ventura and Jesse Ventura. He will at least attest that when he was filming me, when me and Andrew Bishaga were interviewed by them, I told them that you know what we're going to tell you and what we're going to show you. There's no way that you're going to show this before the elections. And he said, "No, you guys are pilot season three. That plays you know that'll play in March." And, you know, that would be before the elections. I told him, I said, it'll never see the light of day. They'll make you cancel the whole series or something, or, you know, or cancel the season until after the elections. I said, there's no way that they're going to allow this. And, you know, so we interviewed, and sure enough, all of season three was canceled, you know, for whatever reason, but it was canceled. And, you know, we have a strong indication that Jesse Ventura was very much financially threatened. And, in fact, to the point, from if I remember the quote, was that I believe he was told that his home in Mexico, his retreat, wouldn't be there when he got there. If that's not a misquote. Yeah, So, I mean, you know, Andy gave me a call, one that I think you're right. Yeah, they're not going to play this before the election. Are you kidding me? I said, we'll be lucky to be able to, you know, if we don't get shilled or pulled off the air on coast to coast with George Norrie. And, you know, we have a past recording on that. But, pretty interesting.
Hey, you know, Will. Talking of coast to coast.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember there was this famous coast to coast caller who was never heard of again, and he was like, oh my God, they're after me, and that kind of thing. Was that.
That was fake. But what happened was very interesting. Agency or you know, the agency didn't realize that it was actually a fake call, and the guy had inadvertently said some things which triggered some things which were actually pretty frickin' accurate. And what they did is they cut the power to the radio station and shut down the show, because they thought it was somebody who was one of the people that was being tortured by the reptilians. What do you call token figureheads, you might say, entertainers, or a captured audience. But what actually did, that caller was actually a fictitious call, and when he called in the second time, he'd already been approached and being told that he will call in again and clarify that it was a fake call, and he will make sure his family killed will call in. And so the guy called in and clarified that it was a fake call. The call that he did triggered a lot of things that were already in place. And you remember how far back that was, how long ago? 2005, 2006?
Yeah, something like that.
But it was a fake call. It was a fake call, but it was based on real things. The guy had just inadvertently triggered an event. And, and so the power was immediately, and if everybody remembers, that power was cut within 3 minutes of the phone call, which, and very selectively.
Yeah. So, I mean, pretty fast acting, really.
Yeah, that was time travel, based on time travel intel.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course that's how they do it.
And I can call a deadline and have somebody here that probably drove for about a day and a half to my location. He would get here within, it used to be 15 minutes or 18 minutes, and now down to about 5, being that we're coming up on, you know, being that we're at the 2012-2013 era. Things get faster. JP.
Things get faster as we're approaching 2012-2013. Are they going to get slower after a point? Are they just going to spiral up?
Wave off, we're going to move on. that was based on TT Intel, and somebody went from the day prior and went to location based on the phone call. And it was time traveled back, and they went through the power on it as they were told to. And because they actually put up, they had to go back under the universe. It was actually relayed, and the power was thrown.
So, hang on a second. Because you've been saying before that you can't really time travel into the past physically, but you can appear.
Physically, you can, but not with our, you know, not with the technology at the time. It was extremely difficult, if even doable. The way that it had to be done was through plasma confinement. Andrew went back into the past, he went back via plasma confinement, where people in that non-local event and period back in say the 1800s, they were witnessing him. He was a part of their of that reality, and he was a part of history. and he was witnessing them. It's just that a certain threshold, when that threshold is met, either the person disappears or, say if the person shot, the bullet would go through, or if the person was very aware, that person would vanish right in front of the other person. The time traveler would vanish. And, and it gives credence to the stories that you heard in the Civil War of ghost kids appearing, that the Confederate soldier was, I shot that boy point blank in the chest and he just ran off. He was a time traveler. They were using kids experimentally to go back into the past because the adults' belief system and experience were collapsing the field. So the adults were having a hard time experiencing that non-local event or that past time period.
Wow. So it's only because the children didn't disbelieve it that they were able to remain there. And how did they get back?
They just get pulled back, whether...
So it's the energy runs out and they kind of are drawn back into the present moment.
Yes. Yeah.
So the plasma confinement pushes them back in time. Is that right?
Kind of, or pulls. I honestly, that's a good point. It opens a way of visiting that non-local event or that time period. The past, present, and future happen simultaneously.
Oh!
But it opens an access to that time, or to that sideline, or that time period, or that variation of it.
Here's a question, a good one: do we have a kind of natural timeline that we, given?
Yes.
Given no external influences, we would kind of snap back into, like a bungee. And if we're pulled off it, and we're then released, do we snap back to where we're going? God. Is that right?
People are in denial. That's already in place. People are chasing their tail. It's like, we have a natural timeline. When people say, does the timeline skew above that? People are insecure, or people are in the denial. They're on that system. They've been experiencing a normal, linear, mutual timeline, and are now experiencing variations of those timelines, right? To actually another timeline, Tracy might actually think that I'm a normal person.
Really? You think that?
Oh, boy.
Tracy would not be the judge of said. You're asking the wrong person.
Oh.
Tracy has no idea what normal is.
I know it's not Jerry Satoru's office, that's for sure.
So listen, we got about 5 minutes left.
Why not attack and kill the Nero that set off the whole Jesus thing?
Let's see. What questions on Mars do you have, JP?
Listen, I think we're about out of time. Sorry, Tracy. Say again.
Yeah,
another timeline.
Skype's hard to hear. It's hard to.
Yeah, it's a difficult connection tonight. I don't know exactly what's going on, but it's been great to talk with you tonight, Will. It's been hilarious at times and very informative and altogether just like awesome. So. I know that you don't like compliments too much, so it was bloody awful to have you around, and so thank you very much for making my life a misery for the last 2 hours.
Yay! Success.
That's so perverse. But anyway, meanwhile, Tracy Kennedy, thank you very much for coming on. TurtleIslandNews.info is where you'll find Tracy, day in, day out, digging the news, finding out stuff, having opinions on it, all in one go. Turtle Island News from 5 till 7 UK time, and what is it, lunchtime, your time?
12 to 2 Eastern Standard Time.
12 till 2. Do you call that lunchtime?
I call that lunch and a snack.
And I call it dinner. It's 7 p.m. where I'm at.
Right now?
Yeah, yeah. Somebody just friend requested. I think he's a fan of yours, JP. Lauren Cutts. No.
Nope. Don't know if he's one of mine.
Yeah. Yeah, he's Laura's friend, Laura Eisenhower.
Oh.
Alfred, Major Ed Dames, teacher of mine.
Well, there you go.
Brooks Agnew, Dolores Medina.
Yeah. All the people. Yeah, there you go. More friends happening every moment. Thank you so much, everybody. William Stillings and Tracy Kennedy. It's been great. Thank you very much. This has been Journeys with JP. Good night, everybody.